It's 8:19 and you're listening to Morning Edition on KASU Jonesboro. Good morning, I'm Mark Smith. And joining me this morning by phone is U.S. Senator Mark Pryor. Good morning, Senator.
Good morning, and thank you for having me again.
Well, good to have you with us. Of course, we've been hearing this morning on NPR about the revelations of secret programs by the NSA, which have led to a nationwide debate over security versus privacy. And there's a wide variety of opinions on these issues. Some say these programs were un-American, that they went too far, invaded privacy, but others say that these programs were necessary, that they prevented terrorist acts, and that if you're doing nothing wrong, you have no need to worry. What do you think?
Well, I do think this is an important debate. Let me back up and just say that the Guardian newspaper that released all this, when they did this a few days ago, immediately, if you noticed, immediately that day, of course, the president came out and defended the program, but also in the House and the Senate, members of the two intelligence committees and Democrats and Republicans came out defending the program. So I guess what I would say is, look, it's essential that our nation has a strong and effective spy operation. It's just the reality of us being a global power. And although a lot of this is classified, we still have an expectation that we're going to keep our country safe, but at the same time, we're going to follow the Constitution. And we're not going to be too invasive of our citizens' privacy. Some people say, well, this is kind of like when you go to the airport, you have to go through the metal detector, and kind of everybody has to do this just to keep the country safe. Well, there may be something to that, but I tell you, I think it raises concerns for me and also for a lot of other people about how invasive and how intrusive this is. So there's a court called FISA. It's a secret court, and basically they are given the responsibility in this area of making sure that the government is respecting people's privacy and their constitutional rights. My previous experience with FISA is they've done a good job of that, while at the same time allowing our intelligence agencies to get the appropriate amount of information and the right kind of information they need when they need it. And I think on this one, we just need to look at these programs. Like you said, these programs have been classified. I don't think we ought to, you know, so-called try this case in the newspaper. I think we ought to look at this very carefully and make sure that all these protections are in place, but at the same time, that we're allowing these federal agencies who have very serious responsibility to keep America safe.
What about the so-called whistleblower? There's a lot of discussion about whether he is should be seen as a hero or a traitor.
Well, I'm going to wait on that. I guess I'm not sure I see him as much of a hero right now. He had top secret security clearance. He was doing things, we fought for his country, and then he came out and so-called blew the whistle on the program. If you have reservations, constitutional reservations about what you're doing, there's a chain of command that you should go up through. And, you know, what you don't want to do is you don't want to jeopardize the effectiveness of these programs, because what you're trying to do at the end of the day, you're trying to keep America safe, but also Americans safe. You know, they could be collecting intelligence here that might say that there are Al-Qaeda or other terrorist cells in the U.S., and those cells may be planning operations inside the U.S., or they may be planning operations against Americans overseas. And so, again, we're on very careful ground here, that we need to be very, very careful about how we proceed here. So I don't really like what this guy did and the way it happened, but hey, we'll see. And again, as all the facts come out, I may feel differently about him, but at the moment, I wouldn't put him in the hero category.
Well, these programs that have been exposed, how are they? Is there a difference between what they have been doing and the data collection and covert surveillance programs that have been going on for years and even decades?
Well, I would say there's probably some differences just in the fact that the technology has gotten so much better, and now with you know, things like algorithms and what they call big data and some of this kind of things that we have the capability to do today. I mean, honestly, a lot of this capability is like what you see with Google. When you do a search, you know, you put in a name or something and it goes through all these crazy algorithms. It takes like a half of a split second for us to get the result back, so we don't know what goes on, but that's what happens. And I think NSA and other agencies are using that same type of approach, that same kind of technology, to look at, you know, literally a million phone records, and they can do it in an instant, and they start to see patterns, and they start to say, wow, you know, this guy is calling out to Yemen, and that Yemen number is, you know, gee, it's going to Syria, and, you know, we know that that number in Syria is a terror, you know, I mean, so you kind of go through this convoluted, I'm not saying I understand it all, and I think most members of the House and Senate don't understand it all, but we just need, you know, it's about the same as what we've been doing in the past, but I would say it's more sophisticated, and but the goal is to keep America safe.
Well, to what degree were these top secret activities made possible as a direct result of the Patriot Act after 9/11, and what, how much predates the Patriot Act with roots back to the Cold War?
Yeah, I think some of this clearly predates the Patriot Act. I think we've had, of course, the NSA is an agency that's been around for a long time, and the old joke in Washington, when you look up NSA in the phone book, it says no such agency. You know, that's how secret it is. They don't even want to acknowledge. In fact, it was, I think, not until the 1980s or something that the government even acknowledged that there was an NSA. It's very, very top secret. But some of this goes way back, but some of the tools have been put in place with the Patriot Act and even some since. A lot of this authorization, you give these agencies kind of broad authorization to do these things, but that the check and balance there is this FISA court. The FISA court is there. These are federal judges. Again, this is highly top secret, highly sensitive information that they're looking at. And when the various agencies come in before the federal judge in the FISA court and they lay out their case, it is incredibly sensitive. And you know, a lot of times the judges say no. They say, no, I'm not going to allow you to do this. And so there is a check and balance in the system right now. But, again, this is so far below the radar that, you know, it's all classified and people just don't understand the process, don't know the process, and naturally it raises concerns. And so I'm not saying these concerns are invalid. I mean, they're legitimate concerns and people want to know more, and I appreciate that. But I think some of this, again, it's better to know what's going on generally, but not get too much detail because you don't want to compromise our ability to gather intelligence.
Yeah, it seems like everyone should assume in this day and age that anything you do in making use of modern communication technology is very likely monitored in some way.
I think that's right. And again, we have the capability to do that. You know, again, we talk about the government doing this, but the truth is, like I said before, Google has the ability to do this. Right. I'm not picking on Google, but when you go in there and you start doing things, for crying out loud, Pandora has that. When you start looking at different songs, different artists, different albums, whatever, you know, Pandora is tracking that. And so the reason they do that is so that they say, hey, oh, I see that you like, you know, Charlie Pride. Well, you know, it looks like now you might like Conway Twitty. Yeah, I mean, you know, so they're trying to do it to help you, but the truth is, they're monitoring what you're doing.
Right.
So we just, it's a trade-off in this kind of society we have today.
Well, lots of other issues we need to get to. Immigration reform, you voted to proceed with debate on that. There were, I believe, about 15 Republicans opposed to even debating the bill.
Yeah, I think that we need to do immigration reform. You know, honestly, we should have done this 10 years ago. It's controversial. I get it. It's emotional for people. I understand that. And, you know, Arkansas is in a little different place than the nation. If you look at our state, only about 5% of our population is immigrants. But the truth is we're one of the fastest growing. We're in the top four in the country in terms of the amount, the percentage of growth. So it's changing in Arkansas. And, you know, nationally, if you look at the number, it's about 13% nationwide. We have about 5%. So it is changing, but it's something that we need to do. We all know, every one of your listeners know, that we have a broken immigration system, that we have a sort of a shadow economy on labor in a lot of ways, in a lot of areas. That's not healthy. It's not good for the system. We need to secure our borders. We need to make sure that when people get hired, they are legal to work, and some things like that, and that's what this bill tries to do.
Well, so the bill is going to debate. What do you see happening with this bill? What are its chances?
Well, I think it passes. What you have here in the Senate is obviously we always have this kind of open amendment process where, you know, I think it had over 200 amendments that were filed, maybe over 300 amendments that were filed in the Judiciary Committee on this bill. And I bet you're going to have at least 300 or 400 on the Senate floor. We're in the period right now where senators are filing their amendments, so we don't know the number yet. But I think that they adopted, depends on how you count it, but I think they actually voted on like 92 amendments in the Judiciary Committee. So, you know, we're going to have a lot of votes on this over the next couple of weeks. It's an important national debate. I think in the end, the bottom line, I think in the end it passes. When you saw it get over 80 votes on the procedural motions to get it through the floor and allow us to actually start working on the bill, you know, I felt like at that point that tells you not, it's not going to get 84 votes to pass, but it'll get somewhere north of 60, maybe close to 70 to pass.
Well, the Senate's also passed a farm bill. What's next on this issue?
Well, at this point, you know, we send the Senate farm bill over to the House. The House works on their farm bill. The two farm bills get go to conference. And, you know, hopefully at some point over the next couple of months, 3 months, we have a farm bill that both houses can approve and then go to the president for signature. So the goal there is, you know, hopefully over the summer or fall, the president signs a new five-year farm bill into law, and that's good. That provides stability and certainty for agriculture, and that's a big part, not just of Arkansas's economy, but a big part of the U.S. economy. So I supported it in the Senate. I think it's a much better bill this year than it was last year.
Now you say hopefully. How likely is it that there's going to be, the House is going to, you know, pass a bill, and then you're going to have an agreement that's going to go to the president?
I think it's pretty likely. I mean, I can't speak for my House colleagues over there, but what I'm hearing in terms of the chatter and the scuttlebutt around the hallways here is that the House will take it up, and you know the House bill is going to be different, and it's going to be structured different, and the numbers are going to be different, and some of the programs will be different. I get that, but that's why you have a House and Senate, and hopefully you come together and put those together. So I think it's going to happen. I can't speak for the House. You know, that's always a little bit of a question mark with the House. Last year they ended up not passing a farm bill, and the Senate did. So, you know, we're hoping that they do. Now, one thing to keep in mind is the Senate farm bill was very bipartisan. It got 70, I can't remember exactly how many votes, 70-plus votes, but it was very bipartisan, and that's a good thing, and we need more bipartisanship up here. We need to work together to get stuff done.
All right. Now, with the farm bill, you know, we've had an interesting year weather-wise. Unseasonably cold weather extended into the spring. Then we had some pleasant spring-like weather and a lot of rain well into June now. And the hot summer weather just hitting this week here in Arkansas. Any reports on how our ag producers are doing?
Well, what I'm hearing is so far so good in most areas. You know, it's funny you mention weather because right now as we're speaking, Washington is going through some crazy weather experience here where they're going to have severe thunderstorms, heavy rain, hail, and all this. Then it clears up. Then it happens again this afternoon. So I don't know exactly what's going on, but everybody's kind of bracing for the storm here. No, but so far I hear our producers are happy with this growing season. You know, farming has actually been, for the most part, pretty good in Arkansas. I mean, we've had some drought issues around the country, but because we irrigate, Arkansas has been actually pretty good. It's been expensive, and that's one of the problems is the input costs continue to rise with farming. But I think the net result has been overall, you know, not every single crop, every single area, but overall it's been positive for the state the last few years.
Well, you another thing you voted on recently, you voted for the Student Loan Affordability Act, which is, of course, important to everybody involved in academia here at Arkansas State University and elsewhere. This will prevent the doubling of interest rates on student loans. What's the status of this, and why is there opposition to this?
Well, I don't know exactly why there's opposition to it. There's different approaches on how to do this. I think what I've supported is probably the best, most sensible way to do it, which is just to continue what we've done over the last couple of years and to continue it for 2 years, which is a 3.4 student loan rate. Unfortunately, it's kind of been balled up here in the Senate. We haven't passed it yet, but I think what will happen is I think we'll come together and pass this. We want to make college accessible and affordable for students. It's so good for the economy. It's so good for them personally. It's good for the U.S.'s future competitiveness. In fact, it's essential that we have all those things. So our goal, our national policy should be to try to get people to go to college if they want to go to college. I mean, if that's what they want to do, we need to make it possible for them to go. If we can help on student loans or other type grant programs, you know, we need to try to do that. And then, of course, Arkansas State, you know, they're doing things right now to try to make, you know, going to college more affordable. And we all know the cost of college across the nation has increased dramatically over the last decade or so, and we understand that. I think college is working on that. I know the ASU board is very sensitive to that. So everybody's trying to work on this. But the thing is, we want to try to make sure that people who want to go to college can go to college, and it's just good for everybody if they do.
Well, we got less than a minute left. In just a few seconds, you got a challenge ahead of you. Many are saying you'll face a tough campaign for re-election coming up. Are you anticipating a tough fight there?
Yeah, I think it will be a tough fight. But you know what? Back in 2008, everybody said I was an endangered species. There's no way I could win and end up getting 80% of the vote. In 2002, people said I couldn't win. I won. So, you know, I think I have a trust relationship with the people of Arkansas, and they know that every single day in Washington when I'm up here that I try to make things better for the country. I try to make things run better. I try to bring people together and be a problem solver and a bridge builder. And I'm looking for solutions every day on every issue. And that's not true up here with a lot of people. Unfortunately, up here you get a lot of red versus blue, Democrat versus Republican, one ideology versus another. And you know, to some extent, you see people up here don't want to work together. That's not the way I think people in Arkansas want me to behave, so that's not the way I behave. And, you know, I do my best to bring people together. So I feel good about the reelection. I really do.
All right. Senator Mark Pryor, thanks for your time today.
Thank you. Great to talk to you.
Senator Mark Pryor joining us from his office in Washington. You're listening to Morning Edition on KASU.